Come on, rat. In the truck, next stop.
We're now in the woods, Fox's Grove, on High Ash Farm, having a wander through here. And lots of acorns on the ground and sweet chestnuts over there as well. It's all come down, I suppose, because of those strong winds.
Yes, we've had some pretty windy events here at the farm this year. It's a little bit unusual because the trees are still in leaf. It brings back memories of 1987 when we had really severe winds, brought down 1,500 trees here overnight, that one particular night. And the trees were in full leaf at that time. And this year it's happened again, but nowhere near as extreme. And in the eastern counties of the UK here, we missed the worst of the wind on this last one. It's the first named storm of the year.
Her name was Amy.
Yes, I know. So it's when we get to D, E and F, I start to get worried.
But yeah, we don't want Freddie or...
Yes, hopefully a lot of the canopy for the deciduous trees, the leaves will have come off, and the wind passes through deciduous trees much easier at that point. Conifers aren't affected in the same way because the needle structure is very fine and it tends to let the wind through. So when we have wind events, particularly during autumn and again in the spring, you can get them again then. The weather's changeable. And the conifers seem unaffected, and there's a massive Corsican pine in front of us. He's up about 120 feet, well over 30 metres, that one, and it's not lost a twig over the decades that I've known it.
That is ramrod straight,
it
that,
is.
Isn't it?
It's incredible. I think it's just on 60, 65 feet to the first branch to come out of it. But the timbers, because it's Corsican pine, it's called red deal, it's very little value by the time all the work goes in to fell it and load it on a lorry and it goes through to a sawmill. The value of softwood, which is what it is very, very low indeed. So I don't fell any trees here unless they fall over themselves and the rest remain, and lots of ash trees all around us, all suffering in some degree or other with the ash dieback. You can see some of them are just bare twigs up there. So as I mentioned earlier, a lot of our trees are under stress in some form or other, either by the weather or the lack of rain or too much rain. And so there's this lovely circle in the woodlands which is invisible to us most of the time. So this time of the year the fungi become active, and some fungi don't produce fruiting bodies at all. Many of them are just active under the ground and carry on their lives in the form of sort of hyphal threads, so almost microscopic. And if you do dig the soil in woodland, you can see these little white threads, and that's the fungal roots, if you like. And many of those species don't produce a fruiting body, and because a fruiting body is really the only bit that most people see.
So some, like a mushroom.
Exactly.
A fruiting
above,
body.
That's it, the bit above the ground. And we just walked up one of the tracks and...
Oh my word, I didn't notice these. Look at these, they're huge.
they're amazing. It's got a really lovely common name. It's called lawyer's wig. And because of the shape of the wig itself and the little scales from the freshly emerged ones. These are a little bit past their best, but it's also called an ink cap. And this particular one is called shaggy ink cap because the little scales hang off exactly like a lawyer's wig. I'm just going down on my one knee now to have a little look, and you can see the remains of the scales, particularly around this side. And they are good for about a day or two only, and then they start to do something unusual. They start to eat themselves. It's a process called auto-ingestion. And what happens is the tips of the dome of the fungus that hangs down over the long stalk, in technical terms that stalk's called a stipe, and they hang down exactly like a bell with sort of something holding the bell up in the air, if you like, which is the stalk. And the tip of the bell starts to sort of drip a black ink, and that's why it's called ink cap.
And it's happening right here, just on the other side of this one, Chris. It's
yes.
A huge, great long drip.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. You can actually collect it.
It's actually growing as you see it.
And use it. It is. Look, it's going down to the ground as we're watching. That's amazing. And it's surprising. Fungi often emerge almost overnight. Everything happens very, very quickly, which surprises everybody. It's nearly reached the ground. It's come down 3 inches, a long strand of black ink. You can collect it and use it for writing, hence the word ink cap in the name. And so what then happens with the original part of the cap, which this is the best one here, we'll describe this one. It's like a bell shape on a long pole, the bell's facing downwards. The margin starts to curl inwards, and that's where you start to have the black fungal spores developing. And what it's doing is, as it eats itself, so to speak, so I've just touched it with my finger, and I've got jet black on the edge of my finger.
Looks like you've dipped your finger in Bovril.
Yes. So the fungal spores, actually in this case, drop onto the ground. If flies land here, they get that black juice on their feet and fly off and infect another portion of the woodland, anywhere where there's a suitable habitat for it. So that's its life cycle, but it has spent all year the fungal threads underground, and this is the only time of the year it gets itself up and about and able to reproduce by the means of spores. And the spores sometimes carried off in the wind, sometimes they get eaten by animals. There's lots of woodland animals here that will actually eat the ink caps when they're in their sort of prime state, when they are. It's an edible species, but I say to everybody, don't eat fungi unless you absolutely know what you're doing, and certainly nothing from woodland, although this is an edible species. It's got a close cousin called the common ink cap, which is also meant to be edible, but if you eat it and you drink alcohol at the same time, it is really toxic and cause violent sort of abdominal pains and upsets to the point that it can put you into hospital. And yet it's a close cousin of the shaggy ink cap, which is what we're looking at. So that's why you have to be careful. They're both similar in structure, except the common ink cap doesn't have the lawyer's wig look about it. So there we are, one of those things. But this time of the year...
That one is dripping there now.
Yes.
Another
one just starting. Look. Wow.
It's all happening in front of us.
Yes.
And that's the process of this one now just...
Auto-ingestion, Matthew.
Eating itself.
Yeah, exactly. It dissolves itself and then moves on, and that's the end. So the whole area underneath this fungi looks as though there's been a tiny bonfire here. The soil is jet black.
It's as black as tar.
Yes, exactly. And you know, if we'd have come here 24 hours ago, there'd have been neat little caps just up above ground level, looking very neat and pristine, and looking exactly like a lawyer's wig, which is where the common name comes from, shaggy ink cap. So there we are. I've not seen that before, actually dripping. The drip that we're looking at, don't look at me like that, is just about touching the ground now.
It's only this bit here is about to fall, I think.
Yep.
It did.
Yeah. So, amazing.
Yes. So there's the lawyer's wig.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So if we just stand up, we've hardly any distance to walk.
Oh, and there's more, is there?
There's all sorts of different species, because it's that time of the year. When you visit the farm each week, some weeks I kind of scratch my head as to what we're going to visit, and I never quite know. And at this time of the year, you honestly don't know which way to turn. Everything's happening so quickly with the change of the season from summer to autumn. And then you think it's a very gentle change, but things happen, as we just saw with the dripping of the ink cap, things happen incredibly quickly. So we're just coming into the lower part of the wood. The soil is damper. It's quite now moving from sort of calcareous soil with lots of lime in it on the side of the hill behind us.
What was that word?
Calcareous It just means rich in lime, in calcium, in other words.
Oh, that's a,
yes,
that's so another good word.
It's quite a common usage word. And so we're now into alluvial soil, which has been washed down hills over the centuries. And funny enough, the soil's quite acidic now. We've changed the pH under our feet without knowing it. But if you tested the soil, this would be about 5.5. And where we just were, 50 yards behind us, would be about 7.5. So really interesting. So I've just brought us through. We're walking through birch trees now. Some of them have died and they're still standing. That's an ash, completely defoliated with ash dieback, so that will probably stand there 4 or 5 years more at the most, probably not that long. Because the soil is damp here, the root structure will die very, very quickly and they will just topple over. So that's quite sad. And the same has happened to some of the silver birch trees.
Oh, that's sad, because that's quite a feature of this part of the wood, isn't it?
Yes, we're getting more dead trees.
Oh, there's... look at the bracket fungus, yes, on that. Is that what we're looking at?
Yes, that's it. That's birch polypore, it's called. And exactly what it is, it's a bracket fungus. So it's kind of hung on the side of the birch tree, like a dinner plate size almost.
It's there at right angles to the trunk.
Yes, a little bit pale on the top, beigey on the top, and a wavy edge, and then underneath on the younger specimens it's bright white as well. It's not edible, it's just hard and leathery, like it's too high for us to reach on those particular ones. But this tree on the right is sprouting young birch polypore all the way up the trunk. You can see some just emerging.
Yeah, like the size of a seashell, whereas the bigger ones are more like a flying saucer.
Dinner plate size. Well, dinner plate for me size anyway. So they are pretty big, sort of 12 inches, that's 30 centimetres width across. And that's a particular fungi. You can see how specialist they are. You will only really find that species growing on birch trees. So that's what it's doing. You'll find it on living birch. It's a very, very common bracket fungi. It's called a bracket because it just comes out of the trunk at right angles like that and just fixes itself into the substrate of the tree. But it's a sign that the mycelium is right through the trunk. And that, again, is just the portion of the fungus that you see when it actually fruits at this time of the year. So there we are. Well, we've got a short walk now. We're still very close to where we are, but because there's a nettle patch and you've got quite thin summer trousers on, we'd have to walk through the nettles. So we'll just dive around the edge a little bit and then walk alongside the stream and see if we can see one of our most spectacular species.
Having a good trek through the woods, and Chris, we're quite close to the road here, aren't we? But very colourful entrant into our fungal forage.
Yes, it's that most spectacular of all the fungi in the British Isle, the fly agaric. It was called fly because it used to be gathered and ground up and made into a paste to kill flies in kind of medieval kitchens. It's also a hallucinogenic one. It really doesn't need much description. It's scarlet red.
It's a toadstool, really, isn't it?
Yes. This is a cracking species. Something's already taken a chunk out of it. About 4 inches across the cap, which is about as big as it gets to. And it's covered in sort of a creamy white spots all over. When it first emerged, when you actually see them coming out, they're going, oh, there is one just coming out.
Just coming out.
Right. Yes. Oh, we're right beside it. Oh, I hadn't seen that. Perfect. Just coming out, and the veil is still more or less intact on this one. It comes out completely white over the top of it. And we just see the scarlet. So as the cap begins to open up now, it will break up into all these little white spots, which you see on this one, which I've just decided to knock over onto one side. There it is. So that's freshly emerged, and by this time tomorrow the cap will have opened up 24 hours time and be 3 to 4 or 5 inches across the top. And also, because it's an Amanantia species, it has a little veil just round here, about just where the cap breaks away from the stem, and that's typical of this species of fungi. You can just see a sort of a skirt round the stipe, and quite a thick base as well where it grew from the soil.
It doesn't have roots to speak of, but
no,
very thin, obviously.
No, that's the whole thing with fungi. They don't. They're technically called non-flowering plants, is the best way to describe them. They don't ever have flowers. Rat, would you not go across onto the road? Good boy. He's come to visit us. So that's the important thing to remember. So it just attaches itself to the ground with the mycelium, which are invisible to us, but usually it has a swollen base, as many of the fungi do, and it kind of stands there by its own gravity. So, you know, in a wind, they generally blow over. And this one will produce spores from the gills underneath, and you can see the gills are really tightly packed, and so the spores are literally microscopic, and they'll go off, they'll drop out either onto the ground close to where the fungi is, or they'll blow off in the wind once this starts to dry underneath.
It's a thing of beauty, isn't it? But not one that should be taken lightly.
No, it used to be gathered up in the northern hemisphere. It likes birch forests and acid soil, which you'll have in the northern part. You'll go up into Siberia, right at the end of the tree line where the forests finish and the scrub layer begins, and you have that really cold winter weather. And then the nomadic tribes up in there used to gather it and dry it and then actually eat it over the winter months, and it causes sort of, it can cause extreme stomach upsets, but it also causes hallucinations as well. And so it's quite a dangerous drug, and most of that practice of eating it, it's a tribe called the Konyaks who live up there, that kind of particular practice of eating these hallucinogenic fly agarics has ceased, and they've changed over to vodka drinking now.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. So there we are, but it's nonetheless, it's typical of birch woodland. I'm kneeling down on the ground, and all around us there's an array of different species of trees all laying on the ground around us.
I can see some more red over there, so more fly agaric.
Yes, yeah, there's a really good spot for them here. So it's quite prolific, but they really have this season sort of early October to mid-October. Once you get the hard frosts, fungi have such a high moisture content in them. 70-80% plus is of the fungi body is moisture, which makes them grow so quickly. So that's then, they just deteriorate when you have the first frost. So their season is quite short and abrupt, as it is for many of the species. So this is a really lovely habitat because the trees aren't cleared. There's a crisscross, a mishmash of fallen trees, many of which are birch trees, some ash trees. This is typical of ash dieback here. This one's just come over in the last day or two. And you can see what happens, Matthew, why, although when you have a tree with ash dieback, it's quite a young tree. It's about 40 feet tall, about 12 inches through the trunk at the extreme base, and the roots, there's still some green leaf on it at the top. Look, no reason why it should come over, but as I've said before, I've had to learn about chelara or ash dieback that it also affects the roots completely. One's fallen that way, and just look at the root system here. I can actually put my finger up the root. That's that rotten. It's just gone like paper mache, wet form of it. And it's fortunate it's fallen away from the road.
So it's got no base whatsoever.
No, it just stood there vertically, nothing to hold
it. First little breeze that comes along, over it goes.
Yep. And it'll be true of many of the ash trees in here. After all, it's a very fond tree for me, being High Ash Farm. Not many of them are going to be standing in a year or two's time. It's just literally standing on its own by gravity, because it was pretty well vertical, and it's just peeled over and there's no root ball on it. And that's typical all over the woodland here. Even that some of the large trees are exactly the same. Oh yes, I can see what you mean. There's two further fly agarics just a little bit further in, one quite large one and one a little bit bigger than the one we've just seen. Yeah, well spotted. Yes.
So, well, you're going to go solo now, aren't you, Chris?
Yes, I will. I've got some more jobs to do at the farm. We're digging out and putting in some new pipes for a really large bridgeway and a new sort of bit of public access for safety. And so I've got to do and help Daniel and Neil for an hour or two, and then I'll just finish off this podcast, because there's some birds I particularly wanted to introduce you to. I'll keep it secret until a bit later in the afternoon, and then I'll do that solo. Rat will still be with me, but before
he never leaves your side, does he?
No, he doesn't. No, he's stuck to me like glue. Yes. But if you'd like to help with the sort of funding of the podcast, any donations will be really, really welcome, and your questions as well. There'll probably be one or two questions later on this afternoon, because I'm not at the office and I don't know how to use the printer to get them up out of the computer, unless I have a hammer.
So that's why you've got a son.
Yes, that's why I've got a son. He's very adept at that.
So any questions, email chris@highashfarm.com, or if you can help with the running costs of this weekly feature, this podcast, then it's highashfarm.com/podcast. You can find out about how to make that donation. Chris, I'm going to head off,
yep,
but good luck later.
Yes, I hope so. Fingers crossed, we can find what we're looking for.